Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Antonio Sabato Jr., and you're listening to Stardish Radio.
Hi, this is Bradford Anderson, and you're listening to Stardish Radio.
Hi, this is Jason Thompson, and you are listening to Stardish Radio. Keep listening.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Stardish Radio on the Blog Talk Network. Today, September 18, 2008. I'm your host, Joanne. Our call-in is 347-945-5423. Tuesday, the 23rd, Eileen Kristen is joining us for a repeat performance. I really want everybody to come and support her. She really, really deserves it. And it's going to be a good conversation. If anybody has listened to the interview we did previously with her, expect more of the same and then some of different. So just tune in the 23rd to talk to Eileen Kristen at 10 p.m. I'm bringing on Georgette. Hey, Georgette. Georgette.
I'm here. What's up?
Oh, okay. I was mistaken. That wasn't what I thought it was, just to clarify something, okay? That goes to you, Georgette. That wasn't him.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, Eileen Kristen is coming back on the 23rd, I was just saying, and we're starting a writing campaign for her. We're working on postcards. As a matter of fact, Tony Ann just finished a postcard for me, and I forgot to tell you, and I'll send it to you. It came out really, really cool, very, very Roxy.
I saw it. Did you post it on MySpace?
I didn't place it on anywhere.
No!
The one that you saw on MySpace, I made this morning, and Superposter reposted it for me, and
it was very nice.
Yeah. So she's an icon in the soap world, for crying out loud. I mean, let's go here. You know, give the woman some friggin' airtime. But let's get to the really big news for today while we're waiting for our guests to call in. Eden Regal is back on All My Children with Tamra Friggin Braun.
Oh, my God. I'm so excited.
It is unbelievable. Tamra Braun is back to her ABC roots, and she will be playing the lover of Eden Regal, Bianca Montgomery, I should say. She's an architect that she met in Paris. So I'm really excited to see what this is going to be like because, you know, I don't know how it's looking to some people, but to me it looks like Alicia Minshew is going to be a goner because she's in the middle of contract negotiations, and she posted on her website that she wants more airtime. Less airtime, more time off, I should say. And it doesn't look like they're going
to
give it to her.
She has enough airtime as it is. How does that
I said it wrong. She wants time off. And it doesn't look like they want to give her what she wants. So it really looks like that she might be gone.
She's getting married soon. So
exactly. So that's another reason why. So I think, you know.
I can't say I blame her. She works every day. She maybe, if she's lucky, gets one day a week off. And that's freaking crazy.
Right, right.
She works all day long. I can't blame her. I don't blame her. It's because the Zendel fans, man, they're dedicated. I tell you what.
They are. But you know what's really ironic about that is that you have an actress like her who's beloved on the show who wants less airtime. When you have on the flip side, you have an actor like Forbes who, you know, they got rid of so fast. You know what I'm saying? It's like they died just to get that airtime. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. It's two sides to the coin.
I have no comment.
Yeah, let's get to tonight's guest. We know Graham Shields as the gruff Iraq vet Cody Paul from GH Nitro Season 1, and he's returned to the canvas of the mother show, General Hospital, but is also developing a new type of fan base, a darker fan base, due to his new project, HBO original series True Blood. where he plays this hardcore tatted up vampire who likes it rough, I have to say. You don't got HBO, you don't know what you're missing. This is his second time on Stardish Radio, and I am so excited to welcome Graham back to the show.
Hello.
Hi, Graham.
Yeah, hey, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm doing great,
Welcome back.
Yeah. Thank you, great to be back.
Oh, wow.
I heard you talking about, I guess, another show of General Hospital about some woman who's complaining she's working too much, an actress?
That's All My Children, Alyssa Minshew.
I wish I had that.
Yeah, she's in contract negotiations, and we were just, Georgette, you're back on the line, so you can talk.
Hi, Graham.
Oh, I thought I recognized your voice. Hey, how are you?
Good, what's up?
Good. Well, I guess if this woman has a family or something, I could understand that.
She's a single girl. She's getting married, but she works every single day. And we were just saying how the big news today that hit the internet on SoapNet was Eden Riegel, who plays Bianca Montgomery, Erica Kane's daughter, is going back to the canvas of All My Children, and going with her is Tamara Braun, former Carly on General Hospital.
She's
considered a heavy hitter. And Alicia Minshew also plays the daughter to Erica Kane. And she's in the middle of contract negotiations, and she said that she wants time off because she literally does work every single day. I said it's ironic because so many people, that are dying for work, that would work every single day, where now you got somebody who doesn't. You know what I mean? It's like,
yeah.
I don't know, two sides to the coin, I said. So
yeah, exactly.
One way or another, it'll work itself out.
Yeah. So, yeah, thanks for the plug about the HBO stuff. I have been getting a lot of
love it.
Posts and emails and phone calls from friends I haven't heard from for years.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah.
I watched it with my sister, the premiere episode, and it was creepy, but it was great. And like, if I didn't know or speak to you before and not know anything about you, I would be scared, okay? I mean, I wasn't because I knew, I know your background or whatever, so I really wasn't. And I'm sitting there explaining it to my sister, and she's like, he really looks fucking creepy. I was like, oh, but he's so gorgeous. You have to see. So I brought her in, and I showed her the pictures of you on the computer without that. She's like, oh, wow. So it's you do such a phenomenal job. Great
job. Oh, that's great. Yeah, well, this Sunday is my character's biggest episode, and I think, it's been getting, there was an online review of it, of Online Hollywood or something like that,
uh-huh.
And it just got trashed, it just got ripped to shreds. But,
really?
Yeah. But I think when, and not to say too much about this next episode, like when you meet the character of Liam, and then there's two other characters that are basically the same function in the story, Malcolm and Diane, you kind of see the counterpoint to, somebody's complaint was that, oh, this is like stereotypical vampire stuff, but I think you have to kind of see the whole, and that's what's great about like Alan Ball and HBO is they don't make every episode like self-contained, like a CSI Miami or something. They're not
right.
trying to... They're not trying to please, shove cake down people's mouths. They're going to take a whole season to let you in on everything, So, and I guess that's one way, and much like soaps, in a way that kind of gets you hooked in a way, you try
mm-hmm,
to get hooked
mm-hmm.
on certain points. So in all fairness, I think you kind of, the series will take time, but on the other hand, it's getting great feedback too. So,
I joined a few. They have a few True Blood groups out there, like in Yahoo and on MySpace and Facebook, and they really do. And I joined them to, to promote your appearance and to just see what everybody was saying. And and everybody really, it's a group, so obviously they like it. And there's a big, big following. So I think it's something that's going to be, and it just got picked up for the second season.
Yep. Yeah.
So obviously they're doing something right.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's the thing. I mean, it's you know, taste is in the eye of the beholder. So if some reviewer out there didn't like it, well, big deal, you know.
Mm-hmm.
No big deal.
Exactly,
yeah,
because the fans are pleased. So.
Yeah, yeah. But it's exciting to, I mean, this is, again, I did this like last year. So it's been like a year coming. But it's, I'm looking forward to it. It's definitely, like you say, it's creepy. It's, you know, it's kind of out there. And why not, you know, be able to show a different side of myself? So it's cool, especially my backside.
Oh, yeah, we like that backside.
Yeah, yeah.
I was dying when I saw that. I was like, you got to be shitting. It was a shocker for me, but it was a good shocker. We talk about True Blood back in April. So, yeah, it has been a while since you've done it. And so it's just kind of like been waiting for it to give birth. And then in December, you have Yes Man coming out with Jim Carrey.
Yeah, yeah, that's going to be fun, too. And I was pleased to see that I'm in the trailers. If you've seen like Tropic Thunder or Step Brothers lately, they've been showing that trailer for Yes Man in that film. So.
Oh, okay. No, I haven't been to the movies, but they're in the chat room. They're saying that Graham is in the trailer for Yes Man. So okay. So people are seeing it.
Yeah.
With Jim Carrey and Zoe.
I don't even know how you pronounce that crazy girl's last name.
Deschanel, it looks like. My favorite actress, not in soaps. So they said that they saw you in there. So that comes out in December, so I can't wait to see that.
But you got
some other things going on, too.
I did. I play, you know, heck, if I... You know what? I missed my chance on Poor Charles, the soap, because they
That's
had, like,
what
vampires.
I wanted to ask. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because apparently I'm being, like, typecast as a vampire because I play another vampire on Nip Tuck, but that's not going to be, again, that's going to be in, like, a year because that's the season finale of season five, and that's not, season five hasn't even started yet. So it starts in January,
right.
So
right.
That'll be, like, May. But,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, I got that, and then Burn Notice, which was fun, which is this fun kind of action comedy show with Jeffrey Donovan.
Right.
And he's starring, there's a new Clint Eastwood film coming out now, which is looks like it's going to be guaranteed Oscars, and Jeffrey Donovan's starring in that. And so, I've been very blessed this year. Things are going good, and being back on GH is, like, just awesome. And you know what? You know who saw – everybody at GH is telling me about True Blood, and the associate head writer is Elizabeth Court, and she said she watched it. So, you know, who knows? Maybe they'll want to see my backside on daytime. I don't know. In a section,
you
know?
I'm telling you. Well, you know what?
I got a couple people in mind.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, no. When I had you back on in April, you said you did miss your calling. We talked about how Port Charles was the vampire show with Kent King and Kiko, and so that you would have fit very well into that show, very well.
Yeah, totally.
You know,
totally.
But we like HBO because it's completely uncensored, and they didn't have that in Port Charles. That's for sure.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
But I can't wait to see it. When they showed the coming attractions for Sunday's episode, I told my sister it's going to be a really good one, and we were sitting there trying to figure out what was going to happen. So we have our theories about what happens, but I'm going to keep them to myself. So it's that kind of show that keeps you guessing, and that's what I like.
Yeah, totally. It's and I think, you know, the cast is really great, and the writers are really, I mean, there's so much tongue-in-cheek. It's just really intelligent humor, I think. I don't know. I mean, it's just fun. You know, it's cool.
Mm-hmm.
It's sexy and dirty and, it's cool.
It's actually quite erotic to see those things happen. And you really wouldn't think. It's kind of like a little softcore porn thing going on there. And
Yeah.
Ain't nothing wrong with it, but you know, it's a different format, and it's I like the whole concept of it. Are you getting?
By the way,
what?
I just saw the new Coen Brothers film Burn After Reading last night.
Oh,
and,
did you?
if anybody hasn't seen it yet, George Clooney's character is very sexually active, and it's pretty quite funny actually. All the stuff, there's some pretty clever humor in that.
I heard that was supposed to be a good one. But I know you're a fan of Robert De Niro and Al Pacino. Did you go see that movie yet?
I did, and I was a little disappointed with the ending. I won't give it away because
don't give it away.
That'd be silly. But you know, I'm a huge Pacino fan. Huge.
Right.
And you know, wig and all, hairpiece and all, I love him. And he's just like he's just got the greatest sense of humor, and he's got balls of steel, and I love him. And De Niro's De Niro. How can you not like him? But I love Pacino. So
right. The last time we spoke, you were talking about we talked about you coming out of jail and out of night shift, back on night shift, coming out of jail, and you referenced De Niro and saying how it would be cool for you to come out with the tats and all that stuff, you know, from Cape Fear, like he did. That would have been awesome, too. So now you're back and you're Jason's bodyguard.
Yeah, which is great, which is great. Mm-hmm. And slowly, you know, I think maybe the blueprint for this character is maybe a lot like Max, you know, Dirk Cheatwood with Sonny. However, you know, I mean, who knows how it could be different in the sense that I'm a different actor than Dirk Cheatwood, you know. So obviously the sensibilities are going to be different. The writers will take that into mind. And, you know, he is now getting a nice little thing finally with Diane. And then now they've even brought in Vincent Pastore, you know, Big Pussy from Sopranos, and I was actually there when they taped a couple scenes, and it's really kind of funny the stuff they've written for him. So, you know, I think things will just develop slowly but surely. I think, you know, with Cody now in terms of being Jason's right hand man.
Yeah.
And I just hope that they just keep bouncing me off more characters in the canvas, you know, so I can play off.
Instead of just being confined to the coffee house, that would be pretty cool. I liked how you played off of the way you played off Giselle, not Giselle, what's her name?
Clarice,
yes. When she was trying to get Sonny's information, and you were like, sorry, because to me, it really just cracks me up how this is supposed to be a mob boss's office, and everybody just walks in there like there's a revolving door. So that was the first time I ever saw somebody say, you can't go in there.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
It's just not happening.
How did she even get in the building to get in the door, you know?
So it's pretty funny how they work all that.
But I mean, that's fun because whenever, obviously the writing in tone is going to be different when I'm speaking to a different character or a woman or whatever it may be. So so it's fun for me to jump into that material, you know, as opposed to dealing with Jason, who I always try to bring in. Like, I don't want Cody Paul to just be like, yes, sir. Whatever, sir. Yes, sir. Absolutely.
Right.
You know, pardon the pun, but a total yes man. So even if the writing doesn't permit it, I try to bring in as much conflict as I can. You know, try to make things that, you know, try to make it more like I'm a peer of Jason Morgan's than an underling, you know.
Exactly. And that's how it comes off, too. You don't come off as a yes man. You're not one of those yes boss, no boss. You know, so in that sense, you're very different than Max, you know, very, very different. Max is a little, in my opinion, it's a little hard to take him seriously, you know, when it comes down to getting into it, because he has like a comedic side to him, and he's kind of wishy-washy, you know, and he's very involved with the Corinthos family as far as him having the crush on Carly and all that, but you're very... Cody's very abrasive, kind of, I want to say, gruff, and it's like, you know what, I am the tough guy, and you know what, you're not going to treat me like a yes man. This is what I'm doing, and I'm trying to prove myself. So, it's totally different. And I like the way it's happening. But what I want to know is, now that, okay, you're back on GH, King is back on GH as Lulu's therapist, why the two of you haven't crossed paths yet?
Let's flood the writer's mailbox with that question. Yeah, who knows? I mean, that's why it was such a blessing for me to have that scene with Clarice, because, like, when you're on the, let's say, you're on the fringes of the canvas, as I am, you know,
mm-hmm.
I mean, to be able to have a scene where there's two fringy characters have a scene with each other is quite rare, so.
Right.
So for me and Kent to have a scene at this point on GH, it would be that, because, you know, you got the Lulus, the Johnnies, the Spinellis, the Sunnies, the Kates, and, you know, and there's
mm-hmm.
such a dense swarming of you know, front burner characters that,
mm-hmm.
you know, when you're not such a person, it's fighting for, you know, how do they'd have to really want to dive into a long plot line with Kent and I to even start it, you know? And,
right.
But, you know, who knows? As my star ascends in the, from my lips to God's ears, anyways, you know, who knows? They might write more for me. We'll see. But
I think so.
You know what? It's never been brought up. And, I think quite honestly, it's probably something they've just shelved. And, but you know, it's not an impossibility, but I think it has to do with the fan support and I was saying to somebody, or was hearing from it anyways, but they do read all those blogs and chat rooms and stuff, especially the writers.
Yes, they do.
When there's, especially if there's something perhaps in an episode that maybe was outside the box,
mm-hmm.
they want to know how it goes over, you know.
Right.
So you know, any support like that helps, and that goes for anybody, you know. So.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I know I have somebody on the phone that wants to talk to you. You ready to take a phone call?
Yeah, sure.
All right. Hello, area code 815.
Hey.
Hi.
Hello. Hey, I like watching you on the hospital station side of that. I actually just found out it was you like a week ago, but it's still cool. What I wanted to ask was, what was it like working with Zooey Deschanel and Jim Carrey on Yes Man? Or are you allowed to talk about it yet? Since it's not.
Oh, I can talk.
Okay.
I never got to work with Zooey, but I did work with Jim Carrey quite a lot, and it actually blew me away, because I think when you're around a star like that,
yeah.
I think half of the stuff is your projection on them, because you project so much, you know, power or emotion into them. But the other half that really struck me was like how you really see, well, of course this guy's a star. I mean, he's like a baby grown up. He has like his imagination is just through the roof. He does not censor himself. He doesn't even know the time. Like, he had his assistant, somebody said to him, like, oh, Jim, we gotta, you know, come to dinner with us, we got a meeting, and he was like, yeah, okay, and then his assistant was like, no, Jim, you have this and this and this and this, and he was like, oh, yeah, sorry. So, like, he doesn't even think about his schedule or anything, and he, what was great about him was after every take, he'd go and watch the replay with the director, this guy Peyton Reed, and then
That's
if it
cool.
wasn't funny, he'd go back and do it again. He'd watch the replay, go back and do it again. He'd do things like 8, 9, 10 times.
Yeah,
until
he does
felt.
Have very good comedic timing. I think it's cool that he does that, just to make sure that he's funny enough on screen.
Oh, yeah.
It's cool.
Yeah.
I love him in Grinch. I actually memorized that when I was 8 years old. I can still do it. But
you memorized what?
Grinch. How the Grinch Stole Christmas.
What do you mean?
When
you
played
what
the Grinch?
You memorized?
Like, his lines in The Grinch. I memorized, like, everything. But
yeah.
It was interesting.
Yeah.
I was hoping she worked a little bit more with Zooey, because she's actually my favorite actress outside soap operas, her and her sister Emily. But
oh, yeah, they're little honeys. And Zooey sings in this movie, too.
Yeah. I saw her in August. on her tour with she and him. Her and Matt Ward are amazing. But
oh, yeah?
Yes.
Yeah, she's really kind of a quiet, modest, you know, person. And, you know, very talented and very pretty and huge eyes.
Yeah. And with that makeup, you get drawn to her eyes. Yeah. Well, it was fun talking to you.
You too. I hope you see the film.
Yeah, I will. Hey,
cool.
Also, what was it? Did you ever work with Patrick Laborto? I know that he's
name?
In it too. Laborto.
No.
He must have. I know he's on the cast list because I was just looking at it today. But yeah.
Okay. Yeah. No.
He played
Andy
Darby back in Little House on the Prairie. Yeah.
Oh no way.
Yeah.
Yeah. No,
yeah,
I didn't look
I know
at that man.
It's weird, but I have like four different reasons to see that movie now. But okay.
Yeah.
Well, go
see it. Bye.
All right. Thanks.
And I'll tell you all.
Okay.
All right.
All right,
bye.
Jenna. All right, we're going over here to area code 484. Hello.
Hello, Joanne.
Hi, Jen.
How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm good. Hi, Graham.
Hey, Jen. How are you?
I'm good. I thought I'd call in. I haven't talked to you in a while, so I thought I'd call in to say hey.
Yeah, it
tell
is
you,
a while.
Yeah, I've been watching True Blood.
Cool. Yeah. It's
a little off the wall.
Yeah.
But yeah. It's all right. I'm kind of liking more of the backstory, more than the vampire thing. Tara thing going on and...
Oh, yeah, okay.
You know,
yeah.
That kind of stuff. I enjoy that more than, just scary
than
vampire.
Bill and Sookie's main line
plot,
you mean? Yeah.
I mean, I'm a vampire fan, of course, you know, but I'm more interested in the other... characters' stories and how they're moving along, you know, and how they're all involved in Sookie and Bill's thing they got going. So
yeah, Tara, the character of Tara, I don't know if she's been introduced yet. Her mother has she had a scene with her mother yet, Tara?
I don't think so.
No.
Last week's
episode she came home and her mother was passed out on the couch.
Oh, that's
and
right.
And she went
right.
out to the right with her cousin or something.
Yeah, that's right.
Her mom's a drunk.
Yeah.
But those scenes, she has a few more scenes. I think they've turned that character into maybe somewhat of a recurring role or series regular. That's one of my favorite plot lines. Actually, as the show develops, you'll see. But yeah, Jason, that character, the actor is named Ryan Quanten, and he's Australian actually.
I love him.
He's a really nice guy.
Yeah.
And
I want the two of them, those guys, to hook up.
Yeah.
They're so cute together. Yeah.
Yeah. He's a good guy, and he's basically having sex in about every episode. So you'll be seeing a lot of his body. Yeah.
We take notice.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. It's different. It's different watching this type of show on HBO or a cable station compared to something like regular daytime soap opera, because you'd never see this on daytime.
Between the
sex scenes and the language and the adult theme type storylines, this would never fly on daytime. So it's very interesting. Very interesting.
Yeah.
A little off the wall, you know, but vampires are sexy, and I just love when they do, like last week when she walked up to the house and the three of you kind of appeared to her and the last shot this weekend, the last tag on the screen was of Ian and his eyes are rolling back in his head. You do that, or is that all, you know?
No, that's CGI.
That's made up. Yeah, okay.
No.
I love that. That kind of stuff, you know. it kind of freaks you out, but, you know, yeah. It's
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the the difference is they have the time and the money to take details like that, you know.
Right.
Whereas, you know, General Hospital shoots 120 pages a day, you know. They shoot, like, maybe four.
Yeah.
So that's definitely CGI.
Yeah.
And one of the funnest things...
You're going to be in the next one. You're going to be in the next one, and then I think you said episode 7.
Yeah. And the next one this Sunday, which is the 21st. That's the one of my biggest for this character. I'm really looking forward to it and see how it all ends up.
Well,
on
I know edit. I had sent you a message at MySpace, but if you haven't heard, True Blood has been picked up for a second season, and they start filming early next year, and I believe they debut sometime in the summer of 2009. So it has picked it up already.
What's cool? I'm excited. You know, it's Alan Ball is so well esteemed in Hollywood, and you know, deservedly. And I'm just excited to see where this kind of exposure will take. You know, will take me in terms of, you know, my upcoming appointments and auditions, and then with Yes Man too. I mean, it's going to be. I think things are going to. I'm turning a corner here, you know. So, I hope this can turn into more and more, you know, fulfilling work. You know.
Absolutely.
I gotta get a new computer. I gotta get a Mac. My computer just crashed. My stupid PC. So.
Oh no.
Yeah.
Oh no.
Yeah.
Well, I won't keep you, but I just wanted to say hey and to tell you that I'm loving the vampire stuff, and so yeah, and I'm enjoying the whole Jason and Cody thing. I don't necessarily like the whole mob thing, but hey, it gets your time. I'm all for that. So
yeah.
You know, well, so we'll see how far that goes too. So
yeah, hopefully far.
Great.
You know.
Alrighty, and
thank you.
I guess I'll be talking to you a little later. All right. Thanks,
okay.
Joanne.
You're welcome,
I'll talk
honey.
To you all later.
Okay.
All right. Good night.
Good night. now, in this episode that's coming up, you're going to have your biggest thing here. What I want to know, if you can tell me, now that you know that it's been picked up for the second season, is your character going to be around for the second season?
No. I get, and that's not really revealing any secrets because the stuff's all based on these books, you know, the Southern Vampire series by Charlaine Harris.
Okay.
So yeah, my character meets a demise at some point. Who knows? They might do flashbacks or whatnot, but I'm not really counting on it, you know. But the success of the show, you know, only, you know, is great. You know, it's only a testament to all the work that, you know, that's involved from all the cast and crew and the whole production team. So I was just privileged to be a part of it, you know.
It's a stepping stone. So, you know what? It's going to get you where you got to go.
That's right. And, you know, like I said, I mean, it's funny how life works. Like, I'm playing a vampire on Nip Tuck, and you know what? If I play vampires for the rest of my life, I'll be more than happy. You know?
Look, you may end up like Frank Langella. Frank Langella is most famous for being Dracula. Out of anything else he has ever done, he's Dracula.
Yeah, and he's had a pretty damn good career. In fact, I just saw in the Coen Brothers film I saw last night, he's starring as Richard Nixon in this new Richard Nixon film.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and it looks good. And, you know, it's one of those things where you just watch the trailer and you're like, that guy's going to get nominated for an Oscar for sure. Like, he's
really?
Amazing. Oh, yeah.
Wow.
But yeah, I'll be vampire. I'll be Green Shield vampire, dude. Fine by me.
Yeah. Okay, we got another caller. Area code 847, you're on the phone, Graham.
Oh, I'm Rita Shulman. Thank you, Joanne, for letting me talk.
Oh, you're welcome, Rita.
Graham, I wanted to say something to you. It's interesting how you said with Port Charles, because you probably know you don't have to worry when General Hospital people are writing it. I'm not sure if it was different writers at the time when Port Charles was doing it. But most of the time, poor Charles does. General Hospital is very strong writers. You're going to be, if you're Jason's bodyguard, you know they're going to give you something that fits your character. Like Aaron was saying the other day, there's small traits of our personality in our characters. And they're going to give something that you could perform strongly, because you probably already know how strong a performer Jason's performer is.
Oh, yeah, Steve.
There's no question on that. I mean, even poor Charles was done in such good taste, and always some strong storylines. Caleb with Livy and Allison. One of those scenes I thought was extremely strong, the end scene when Sam was jealous of, she was furious with Allison, and here she wanted to be something with Caleb. It usually comes on strong, so I can visualize, I mean, if you're going to play a vampire at any point, I can't blame you for wanting to be in with, you know, like General Hospital writers. I have a feeling I know what poor Charles' history. I think it had something more. It was not the fault of the writers or the actors or the actresses or anything like that. I think it was the time slot.
I think
it was the only time slot they could find. I really think that, but I could be wrong.
Right.
I just think it was the time slot that they found. I mean, I don't know how much ratings the news gets, but they're not going to cancel news. News is important.
No, they're not going to cancel the news. But yeah, that's
so when are
you
coming back? When are you coming back?
To General Hospital?
Yeah.
I'm on again. I know I'm on October 6th and 7th, but I'm also on, I believe it's the 20th and 21st of this month.
So that's tomorrow.
When you say the 20th or 21st, are you talking the night shift?
No,
that's
26th and 29th.
Oh, that's what it is.
Well, the 21st is Sunday. It's the Emmy Awards. Are you going to be in the Emmy Awards?
No. Georgette is piping in there. She's the one who's right. It's, the 29th.
And
then also...
And
The 26th.
Yeah. 26th.
So will you be on the night shift or the daytime show?
No, the daytime. I'm not on a night shift, nor will I ever be, I think, at this point, unfortunately. But that's another story. So.
Well, you know they're going to give you
29.
Something good.
Hello. We got a rumble on Stardust Radio tonight, ladies and gentlemen. What's up? Who am I talking with?
I'm on the phone.
I don't know what happened. There's like a rumble. I love it. It's just so funny. I'm sorry, Rita. I don't know where you went, but
I'm here.
Graham is here, so.
Yeah.
Well, back or something.
I'm
being asked in the chat room, where can we send you fan mail?
Oh, to 4151 Prospect Ave, right there.
Hollywood, California, 90027.
Do you want to type it in the chat room? They're asking for that. And then also they're asking me was it odd for you to do the scene with the character of Mordette, the sex scene? I mean...
Yes, it was. Very, it was very uncomfortable. The wardrobe, but prior to that, I had a couple wardrobe fittings for other things and tattoo and, tattoo design meetings and vampire teeth fittings. And then the wardrobe, amongst all this, too, had to make me a cock sock. And so she made me a variety of them so that they would, so that they would fit appropriately and not fall off.
Mm-hmm.
So
when it came time to shoot it, I had yet to meet the actress playing Maudette, who, you know what, her name will come to me in a second. I'm not remembering it right now. But I hadn't met her yet. We had been in the makeup room together, and she was avoiding my eye contact. I was trying to say hi to her, you know, because here we were about to shoot this very intimate scene, and, you know, we're both just actors. This isn't about, you know, me being turned on or whatever. It's about, you know, capturing the moment and doing, you know, fulfilling the story.
Right.
So the second assistant director comes to get us from our trailers, and, you know, I'm in this robe. Underneath the robe, I have nothing on except the cock sock. And she is in a robe, and underneath her robe, I think all she had on was this see-through thong that would have had a strategically placed piece of tape over her, you know, orifices, perhaps. But we had a long walk from the trailers to the set, and she was still, like, avoiding my gaze, and I was like, okay, this is her process, you know, she wants to, like, you know, personalize this and, you know, not, like, cross the boundaries. And so Alan Ball directed that episode, and so it was, like, a closed set, meaning there was maybe only four people there, like the DP, the director of photography, and maybe the cameraman, and that was about it, and then him, Alan Ball. And then so we disrobed, and, you know, she got in position, her hands are up on this meat hook, and I placed my hands on her hips, and, you know, they call action, and we go at it like maniacs. And then Alan Ball calls cut, and he's like, I don't know how to say this, but we need to make it look like we actually have dockage. Basically, I was, like, kind of thrusting at in the general area of her buttocks.
Right.
But he really wanted me to, like, get down and, like, come up on the, you know, like realistically how the penetration would happen.
Right.
So that kind of took a lot of the tension out of the room, because we all kind of laughed. And, you know, after that first take, it was like, it was basically like old hat to me. It was basically like I was a porn star at that point. Because, like, after the first one was really nervous. After that, it was like, whatever. And then me and the girl started, you know, chatting, and we just all got along, and it was fine.
Right.
It was good. It was good when it was over. But the crazy thing was, I had the CGI. They were going to CGI me jumping on her back.
Right.
And she went out of the. She got out of the picture. They brought in a heavyweight punching bag, like a big punching bag, wrapped it in green felt, so that was like its own green screen.
Right.
And then I would jump up on it and have to hump, like a dog humping a pillow on a couch, hump the thing. And then meanwhile, there was this poor, like, tattooed up, like, grip guy, you know, union guy, like, holding the bag in place so it wouldn't fall.
Oh, my God.
And my cock sock kept falling off because it was, like, the felt from the bag was, like, adhering to the fabric of the cock sock.
Right,
and it would, like, fall down, and he was like, God, just don't teabag me. Don't teabag me, whatever you do. It's, you know, whatever. It is what it is. But
wow, this is quite a conversation. Oh, man.
Yeah.
I should have rated this shawar, huh?
Yeah.
The actress who plays Maudette is Danielle Sepia.
Danielle Sepia, I know. Right. Yeah. Yeah, my brain works slowly sometimes. Yeah.
That is so funny. Yes, we should have definitely rated the show R, but you know what? It's nice to get the background and see how it's all really made, because truthfully, when you watch it, it's so realistic. It's like, wow, is he honestly really doing her on screen? So, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, so it's nice to hear the other side of the stories.
But it was, you know, it was an appropriate direction for Alan Ball, because, yeah, I mean, it's one thing to just kind of, you know, pump her butt. But it's another thing to actually make it look like something's going on. But the other thing, too, I mean, not to beat a dead horse, but the thing about that scene was, and it comes out in the plot, is that it was actually, it's not that a camera just happened to be there. It's that this Danielle's character, Maudette, places a camera there.
Right. So it's consciously like two people performing for the camera. You know what I mean?
Right.
So that kind of makes it extra vicious. That's why, you know, my character Liam turns and looks at the camera.
Mm-hmm,
it's not
mm-hmm.
like it's not like you're supposed to be a voyeur in there. It's that this
right.
is actually a home sex video made by Maudette.
Right.
You know, so and that's
right.
what you're having the privilege of seeing.
Well,
you know, so.
Now with the character of Maudette, she's now dead. If the videotape is missing, so my theory is that you're the one who killed her.
Well,
I mean,
would be pretty. That'd be a pretty safe bet.
Yeah, that's what we were talking about. Me and my sister.
But that, you know, that just reminds me of, you know, all the advertising campaign for True Blood with all the, you know, real blood is for suckers and friends don't let friends drink friends and all that stuff. So.
Right. But I'm sorry that you're not going to be able to carry out into the next season and see what else could happen with it. But like we said, it is a stepping stone for you, and it's a good one. It's an experience, and as an actor, I'm sure that you know every experience you take something away from it. So what is it that you took from this series?
That's a good question. I think probably to you know maybe as an actor to like just trust myself more, you know.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of the fantasticalness of, you know, of reality, you know, acting teachers always talk about like reality is actually it's like an elastic band, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Like you can, 'cause you can have an actor like Nathan Lane.
Mm-hmm.
And you can also have an actor like, Russell Crowe. And they're
mm-hmm.
totally different actors. I mean, there couldn't be
right.
two more different actors. But they're both real. I mean, nobody would ever say, I don't buy a word Nathan Lane says. You know, so I think, you know, for an actor to really, you know, come out, you know, pop off the screen, it takes a lot of self-awareness, you know, and, you know, which... I would say those two names are very good examples of, you know, I mean, there's only one Nathan Lane.
Right.
You know, and so in terms of what I can bring to the table, well, I mean, I think I just discovered, well, you know, maybe I can play these kind of psychotic weirdos, you
right.
know? So, and that may be a good thing, you know, down the line.
Right. How is it working with Anna Paquin?
Oh, she's a doll, total doll,
mm-hmm.
and a total pro too. Like, just like, I mean, she's been doing it, you know, longer than I have, and she's like, you know, about 10 years younger than me. So
right.
Yeah, she's great. And
I sent out a request for her to come on too, so we can do like a True Blood week or something like that.
Yeah, and she takes a lot of care in her work. You know, definitely like. Always talking to the director, you know, specifying, getting things clear, you know, and that's pretty rare too, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So that was it was good to be around. It was good. So
when I spoke to you in April, you had some plans for the summer. You had your parents' 50th anniversary.
Oh yeah.
How did that go?
Yeah. Oh, that was great. It was great. I mean, I would have done it differently, but it was kind of. But then again, I'm not in my 70s, so it was fine. Yeah, it was small, just with the immediate family, and then my mom's sister, and then we just had a big, nice dinner at a kind of a nice club restaurant, and that was that, really.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm getting asked in the chat room to see if you had your choice of what character to play. Would you want to stick with playing a bad guy or a good guy?
Oh, I'd always want to be bad guys.
Mm-hmm.
Always. Oh, yeah.
And you know what? With you, I think you play a really good bad guy. The look of you can play a really good bad guy because of your eyes. Because you
yeah.
really do have the crystal blue. My eyes, and we have the same eyes, you and I. And
yeah,
you can be perceived as so friggin' evil if you just give somebody the right look. And you have
right.
that.
Yeah. Well, they're just funner, you know. They're always written funnier, you know. So, mm-hmm. so I guess that's why, you know, they're so much fun.
Mm-hmm.
And usually they're more passionately driven than the heroes in a way, you know, unless it's, you know, I don't know, it depends on what you're talking about, but so usually there's more to sink your teeth into, you know.
Right.
That's yeah.
Well,
but,
yeah,
you know,
I guess it would be better.
Yeah. Yeah.
It would get pretty boring playing a good guy all the time.
Yeah. 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 So.
So what are we going to see in Burn Notice? What kind of character are you going to play in Burn Notice?
Oh, I play a dumb thug, like a dumb. He's a thug of a pharmaceutical drug scam. Like
okay.
I don't know if you know that show Burn Notice. I've actually become a big fan of the show. I
watched it a few times. Yeah.
I like that actor. I like Jeffrey Donovan, and I like
right.
The creator and executive producer of the show is a guy named Matt Nix. He's a really young guy, really clever, really funny, really intelligent. And
mm-hmm.
I like that actor, they write for him, Jeffrey Donovan, in a way, gets to take on a character
right.
to scam a scammer in every episode. So in
yeah.
each episode, he's getting to play a different character. So he plays a character who gains my trust. And then he uses me to take down this, you know, this pharmaceutical scam, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, but I'm kind of thick, you know. I'm not really understanding everything he's saying all the
right.
time. But I do know that, I do know it sounds like there's money involved. So that's a good thing. You know, like, it's kind of like that. So,
right.
Yeah.
Do we
yeah.
know when it's airing or?
No, well, I do know that it's – see, they do mini-seasons, like half-seasons, and their
right.
season now is over, and the next season is starting up in January, and I'm the first episode of the next season.
Oh,
so,
okay,
which is great
because
my episode will get the most advertising, you know.
Oh, good.
Early
so,
January,
yes,
late.
It's all about timing, and
yeah.
you seem to have very good timing with these shows, so I can definitely see big things for you, my friend.
Yeah,
but you always
so.
Have to listen. You always have to come back on here though and tell me about it. So
absolutely, yeah.
You
yeah,
always
and,
have
and
to
I,
come back.
And I really hope that and you know that caller who got you know who Georgette beat up verbally, verbally abused. you might want to see somebody about that, Georgette. You want to? No, I'm just kidding.
Listen.
No, it sounds like no. That was an ex-girlfriend of mine, but that's another story. No, but she made a good point about you know the writers tend to write to the strengths of the actor, and that's very true. You know, however, sometimes they need to present the actor, and I think in my case they have to some degree, but maybe not this year, but last year on Night Shift, because they throw stuff at the actor to test their range in a way, you know, so. I really hope that I get more and more chances like that, so that they learn your strengths in a way, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't think that I've Graham Shields has necessarily been, if challenged is the right word yet.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I don't know that the character of Cody Paul right now has the scope of, you know, only because. Right now, I think it's more of a functional, you know, character to the plot and stuff, which you know what, that's probably my strength, you know, being the tough guy, you know, being the enforcer. So,
right.
But, you know, I'm classically trained, I do Shakespeare, you know, I can cry, you know, all that stuff.
Right,
so
right.
I'd love to do all that stuff too. But again, mm-hmm. it's a case of, you know, there being room on the canvas and,
right.
So when it's like when that fastball down the middle comes, I'm gonna fucking knock it out of the park and I
then
just
you're
think
gonna
that,
come
you know,
to Stardust Radio and tell me all about it, right, Graham?
Exactly. No, I'm talking about yeah, absolutely, of course. But yeah, when Bob Gusta throws me that fastball, I'm gonna
yeah.
you know, I'm taking it to the house. Yeah.
Absolutely, and I could see it happening
yeah.
too.
Yeah, yeah.
Definitely. Georgette, you had a question for Graham.
Are you playing fantasy football?
Oh my God, yeah! And my team is 1-1. So, but my team is stacked. My team is just, it's set for domination. Yeah, it's good.
I'm glad you think so. We're 0-2 now, thank God. You know,
what?
Good time.
Who, the Buccaneers or Miami?
No, Miami is and Jaguars are both 0-2.
I know. Florida has just, like, got the dog-faced teams. I know. I'm sorry about that.
Whatever, your team's in Florida, too.
What?
Your team's in Florida, too. Tampa.
Well, yeah. No, I know. But that's, yeah. At least I don't live there.
No,
well,
yeah.
All right. All right, listen, we got 4 minutes left. I have one more caller. Let me get this caller. Area code 951. Who's this?
This is Sheree Natsik.
Hi, you're on the phone with Graham Shields.
Oh, hey, G-Star. I thought I'd try to get in right before and literally last 4 minutes.
Hey, Sheree. Out here in my time zone. Nice.
Yes.
Nice.
You know, just wanted to show love. Love seeing you all over the place right now. And you're awesome. You rock. You know it. And I look forward to all that's coming out.
Oh, yeah. Me too. Well, thank you. Do you have HBO?
You know it.
Are you watching?
Oh,
okay.
Yes. I love it. Oh, my goodness gracious. I'm so bummed that it's so short. I mean, it's not going to be, like, on all the time. But
Right.
And I want to see more of you, so definitely.
Yeah. Well, good. Well, I hope you tune in this Sunday. I'll keep you abreast of all the great stuff coming up, too. So.
Good deal.
Thank
well,
you.
Good luck and have a great night. And have him back to, you know, share whatever he can share with us.
Always.
All right.
He knows.
Awesome.
Thanks,
Sheree. Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
Okay.
Good night. Oh, wow. Well, you know what? This hour went by really fast. And, of course, you know, you always got a home here to just sit and either tell me what's going on or if you just want to sit and bullshit about the business, you always have fans at Stardust Radio. So,
I appreciate that.
Always welcome. Before I let you go, though, even though you did it for me in April, I mean, obviously there, I guess you realize your staff changes, so I really need you to do me another promo.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Mm-hmm. But
sure.
This time to say, you know, this is Graham Shields on, you know, on Stardust Radio. No names or anything like that, but say it how you want to say it. Say it like an actor would say it. Say like Liam.
Okay.
I don't care. Put your spin on it.
Okay. All right. Are you going to count me in or what?
Okay. 5, 4, 3, 2, go.
This is Graham Shields, and you're on Stardust Radio.
Love it! I got the vampire one!
I love it. That was great. That was really great. But definitely. So you're welcome back anytime. And I'm really proud of everything that you're doing. I'm really, really happy to see you making a name for yourself and digging your teeth into everything that comes along. Because pretty soon you're gonna get so big and you're gonna be like, what? Stardust Radio? Who? What? Sorry, I don't do those little shows.
No, never. No, never. That's those 20-year-old stars who make it overnight. I'm a journeyman actor. No. We'll always be tight.
All right, buddy.
Oh, yeah.
Well, everybody, tune in. HBO, Sunday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Check your local listing for HBO original series, True Blood. And support our man, Graham. Go visit him on MySpace. And show him all the support you can. Graham, thank you so much for calling. And don't forget,
awesome.
Everybody, Tuesday, Eileen Kristen, the 23rd, will be with me, 10 p.m. Eastern Time. So, everybody, this is Joanne and Georgette and Graham Shields saying good night.
Bye, Graham.
Okay,
good night.
Georgette. Thanks, Joanne.
Hi, this
Bye-bye.
Is Antonio Sabato Jr., and you're listening to Stardust Radio.
Hi, this is Bradford Anderson, and you're listening to Stardust Radio.
Hi, this is Jason Thompson, and you are listening to Stardust Radio. Keep listening.
Hey everybody, this is Brandon Barash, and thank you for listening to Stardust Radio. This is Ethan Rains, and you are tuned in to Stardust Radio.
This is Jason Tam on Stardish Radio. Tune in.
This is Forbes Demarais, and you're listening to Stardish Radio.
This is Brandon Buddy on Stardish Radio. Enjoy.
Hey, everybody. This is Kristen Alderson, and I am on Stardish Radio, the coolest radio station ever.
Hi, this is David Fumero, and you're listening to Stardish Radio.
Hi, this is Melissa Fumero on Stardish Radio.